Hello, good morning. Welcome. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. And yes, we're live right now. It's golf season, so occasionally I will be playing the Kevin Miller segment with me at the end so that I can get to the first tee. Interesting week. They're all interesting to some degree, right? It's flat. It's not going on. But this is one of the things that's really interesting to me. I pay attention to volatility in the market, okay, which is actually measured in part, not perfectly, not even close to perfectly, with the VIX, okay? The VIX. Okay, great. We got great. Use your own analogy. Everybody's heads are spinning. What I'm saying is it's measured every day. It's kind of measures the option market. They report it second by second all day long, okay? Just like the Dow, if you will. So it's an index. And it just it reflects how much, again, not perfectly, how much the market's, you know, psychotic, right? Like up in the morning, down in the afternoon, that kind of thing. And you would think, but that the market was particularly volatile. It has been this year. And the answer is no, it's not. It's actually gone back to 2-3 years ago lows. The VIX literally has hit a 2-year low, like last week. It's like, that doesn't seem right. And isn't it interesting how our brains, including those in our industry, have decided certain things that actually aren't true? And I don't think it's like people are wildly wrong or strange about stuff, but does it feel that way to you? Like there is no market volatility, like multi-year lows in volatility? I don't think so. I don't think it feels that way at all. But it is. And there's certain products that we use that pay more when the market is volatile. And I said, I'm not going to get too far in the weeds. Just understand that that's why we pay attention to it. Because right now is not a period where we want to use those products. Now, it can change next week, but these things tend to kind of happen over periods of time. But interesting. So our perspective is market's super volatile because why? Well, because we're scared. We're scared because of, well, it's the Chinese. Okay. Well, it's inflation. It's recession. It's JoJo. The list goes on. What it really boils down to is this. We're afraid. We're fearful right now, in my opinion. We're afraid because there is no leadership. The only leadership we have is bad, dumb. I don't even know that they're leaders, right? They just follow around. We got to check a box. We don't check the box of competence. We just check a box. They're black, they're white, they're LGBTQ, AI, they're queers, whatever. And no, I didn't swear. I didn't say anything wrong. That's what they call themselves, okay? It is amazing how lacking in leadership we are. No wonder people are afraid. How do you think that DC is going to solve problems when this is what we have? Well, we don't. When JoJo doesn't get a call picked up by China, we get afraid. Well, we should. We're uncertain. We don't know what's going on. And that is our leader. I don't even know how we wound up here. Well, it's because of Trump. I don't know. I don't know. It really seems weird. And now we're talking about a rematch between these two. This is great. I love it. This is awesome. This is such a great time for our country to feel secure. That's why. So the reality is corporations are doing okay. Economy is kind of weak, but corporations are doing okay. Reflected in stock prices. Markets look forward to better times ahead while we worry about politics. And I'm not even saying it's wrong to be worried that way. It's not just politics, it's Looney Tunes. Like, you know, like the Wall Street Journal covered this morning, okay? So they're very, very concerned in California and New York about what? Illegal marijuana. That's right. No, not because people are dying. No, God, that's nothing to do with it. We all know what it has to do with. Taxes. So the rules in California are so bad. They're so onerous that even places set up to do legal in California are exporting it to other states that don't have crazy rules. No kidding. They can't figure out how to have more than 4 pot distributors in all of New York City. Can you imagine that? 4. Look, hey, hang with me here, okay? This is so classic of what's going on out there and what we think about for worrying and fear, because these are the people in charge. How do you think this is going to go? And these are the people that, in New York City, it's okay to throw somebody in front of a train, but we're going to get you for marijuana. Why? What's going on? Does this make sense to you? Of course it makes no sense to anybody, but that's what's going on in our country. It's upside down. It's completely upside down. It's backwards. We feel confused. We get fearful. And of course, we should. So constantly, we are fighting this fear and seeing yet the stock market is doing very well. Thank you very much. The NASDAQ is up 17% year to date. That's not even possible. We all knew heading into this year. All of the pundits said big tech was dead. Had to be dead. P.E. ratios were too high. Price, meaning stock prices, were too high. Earnings weren't that good. They were doing some layoffs and things like that. It wasn't looking good at all for big tech. It looked like, for sure, the pundits said we were going to have another down year in tech stocks. 17%. 17% is a great year, let alone a great quarter. Thank you, pundits. I'm so glad that we spent a lot of time thinking about what Wall Street says about the future, what the pundits say. How many times are we driving around? And this is where let me talk a little bit here about some of the basics, if you will. Okay, and I'm going to talk about this some more all day. The basics. We don't have to figure out the future. We talk about this all the time. Doesn't matter. You hear commercial after commercial after commercial. I mean, is that really what is representative of conservatives? Is that what we are? Foolish, fearful people. Is that what we are? Because based on the advertising that runs in conservative radio and on Fox News, that's what we must be. I mean, commercial after commercial, the pundits are predicting the next 10 years could be, I don't know, let's throw in a few really great words like catastrophic. Could be really flat for stocks. May go nowhere. Oh, the pundits. Like, that's a collection of people that is very special. The pundit selection. They're the ones that get it right all the time. And who are they? Well, it's an ever-changing group of people that you want to point to. What do I mean? I want the pundits to agree with my opinion of the future. And particularly if I'm trying to sell gold and other fear-based products like equity indexed annuities. Because if the world isn't ending, nobody buys stupid things. They don't. But if the world's ending, I can trick them into anything at all under the sun. Super high commission stuff. I mean, I'm going to get rich selling fear. Of course. Nobody else does. But the salespeople pimping it, they do. Every single pundit. Who is a pundit? I don't know. Is that the guy? Is that the guy with J.P. Morgan, or is that the guy with Goldman Sachs? Oh, I know who pundits are. It's Joe Schmo, the famous trader. I think I saw that one on the web the other day. Famous hedge fund guy that nobody's heard of, but Bob is his name. Bob says world is ending, or has another pick for you. Best stock for the next 10 years. Okay, cool. Let me see if I can go deeper into all of that nonsense. It seems like these ads run constant. I mean, absolutely constant. And it's just perfect, like the pundits. Like that's a collection of the same people. It's not. I mean, I find my pundits. I know my pundits, the ones that always agree with me. I like them the best. They're the best pundits. I try to quote them all the time in everything. Well, pundits say Dave Petzo's right. Yeah. Pundits say he's kind of handsome. Yeah, that's right. I know my pundits. I got pundits. I got pundits in my corner. Amazing. It's just incredible. And we get so far away from the basics of like owning great corporations that pay dividends and increase them faster than the rate of inflation all the days of our life. Oh, that just seems boring. I'm going to go get some gold. I want an equity indexed annuity because it just sounds really good. I know they're not any good. I know they can't be, but that's okay. You got to believe it because the pundits say stuff. It's incredible. We get so far away, and now we have the greatest opportunity, like, in years. I mean, I'm so optimistic about the people's ability, if you will, to have your 4 or 5% cost of living adjusted income all the days of your life in retirement now with your nest egg. It was really hard for 15 years. Why? I mean, the market went up and stuff, didn't it? Yeah, in the face of fill in the blank, including the Great Recession. Put it in there. Throw it all in the mix. 50% market corrections, other bear markets, pundits claiming things wouldn't be good. And then we got the Donald. Well, he was better. Okay, good. That's great. Yep. We got him. And so because of him, we got JoJo. JoJo the monkey boy. JoJo and company are now trying to destroy everything about capitalism and doing a very, very successful job. They are. In spite of that, stocks continue to do well. Oh, yeah, we had a bear market last year. Yeah, we did. We have them all the time. All the time. We seem to pull away from the basics. We seem to try to make things up like we're going to have to do this on the fly. It's all or none. We got to go into this, go into that. Gold's going to work this year. Put it all there. It's just incredible. And we get away from the basics. And now, with interest rates up, not high, but better than zero, we now can go back to, at least part, I don't think the 60% stock, 40% portfolio is perfect by any stretch, but that's the old one that's always quoted and was always quoted for years. 60-40, that'll work. It won't work when interest rates are at 1% on the 10-year treasury, and they were for a long time. It won't work. But Wall Street kept telling you, the pundits kept telling you that that's the thing to do. And now they're telling you not to, and I'm telling you that's wrong. Interest rates higher, it now means you can. Literally going forward, we can take less risk if you define risk only as daily fluctuations of price. I don't, but let's go with that. And that's the only risk there is. If that's the case, we're in much better shape because whether it's 20% of your portfolio, 40% of your portfolio in bonds isn't killing you, and it did for 15 years. Amazing. It's a big shift. I feel more optimistic now, and I know you don't. You can't. We don't have any leadership, and we have to look past that. That's the whole point. Somehow we have to look past this administration. It's not even a political stance. It isn't. It isn't a political statement at all. When is it 70%? I think it's 70% of the Democratic Party doesn't want Joe to run again. Doesn't think he's doing a good job. He's too old. Doesn't think that our country's on the right track. That's not a political statement when you state that the president isn't a strong leader. He's not. And it makes us all fearful. And we get pulled away from the very things that have worked so well. And in spite of all this, in spite of all the news, you just put the newspaper or whatever you want. Headlines of any kind. Right on top of the market indicators. What is this, the Dow, the S&P? Put a graph up on it. You know the correlation you're going to find? Zero. Just like right now. How is it the market's up? Look at all this bad stuff. Well, why don't you check it 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Just run a headline series over the top of the market. Actually, one company does. All the way back to 1934. Puts a reason every single year you should not own stocks. Not the good news of the day. At least one data point as to what's wrong in the world. And there's some big ones, right? Cuban Missile Crisis, Russia shoots down an airliner, all those things, all those years. And we all know what happened. Markets work. We focus on short term. We focus on the noise. The noise, just all the constant news. And rah, 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 rah. This is what's going on. Oh, gosh, I don't know how many iPhones Apple could sell this quarter. Because, wow, they're disagreeing over the debt ceiling. Oh, my. What could happen? I got to sell my Apple today because they might not sell any iPhones over the next 10 years. I better. That's what we do. We focus on the irrelevant and we miss the only relevance there is. It's amazing. It's like you would have to like actively do this to be this bad. You would. And I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm not trying to make you turn the radio off. I'm trying to make you think. Why is it that the average investor is absolutely pathetic? Well, I'm not pathetic. Yes, you are. We all are. We react to noise. It's true. We tend to, as a group, overtrade, underinvest, all because of fear. Well, I'm not fearful. I don't live my life in fear. Okay, great, great, great. I know. This does not apply to you. I know I'm above it all. I don't have any feelings either about the world. We all have to train ourselves to be better because we're not born that way. But when we make excuses like, well, yeah, but I'm... everything, great. Good. I know. Have another piece of cake. Doesn't affect you. Whatever it is. You know, I mean, we all have our things. But when we live in denial of the fact that stocks have gone up 10% every year on average, never 10 exactly, right? It doesn't do 10. It does way more, way less. For our whole life, we're like 60 years old going, I don't still think it'll work. Okay. Okay. I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to say. when all the evidence of all of history and what we're trying to figure out is why this time it won't work is not sane. It simply isn't. It just isn't. It's not a sane reaction to the facts. But that's because of our emotions. We get caught. And it's getting noisier. And so it takes more work than ever to peel through it and understand that capitalism just kind of keeps bubbling out, doesn't it? Doesn't it? All right, I'm over time. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You know, sometimes it's just, you know, this is so much fun to do, right? I remember the Rush Limbaugh would say for years, he would say, more fun than I, how did he say that? I didn't get to hear him all the time, but it was, because it was the middle of the day, right? More fun than I deserve to have, something, I just can't remember what it was, but it always just reminds me in my head, it is fun. It is fun to do this, and I thank you so very much. For 35 years, this is amazing. So give us a call. Love to hear from you. We get focused so much on the noise day to day that we literally are in our minds, right? Like I just said, 10% per year. All the days of our life, and you're like 6 years old, going, it's not going to work. Not now. Not now. It's like, okay. But nothing else has even come close. Well, I think I'm going to try some gold now. You know, what about that digital currency thing? We just can't stop and get away from the front page. Stop watching the box on the wall, which is 24/7. Fear. And so much of it is DNC. It's unbelievable. I mean, the mainstream media just run by the DNC. It's remarkable. There's no reporters left. So on the one hand, the end of the world is here. And on the other hand, it completely excuses this administration from any accountability at all. Any Democrat from any accountability at all. That's where we're going to get our feelings about our future from and how the market's going to do. And that's what we do. We do. That's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. And we ignore what's happened. You say, well, yeah, okay, so it's been a pretty good time for my 40 years that I've been around. No, it hasn't. There's lots of bad things that have happened. Lots. It happens to be the best 40 years, last 40 years of human history. Last five have been the best of human history. Just, you know, by what most people measure it by, except for loud noises from the box on the wall. But it is. We live longer, happier, healthier lives. Are they happy? No. There's something wrong with us. Let me take the happy out of that. Longer. More abundance. Yeah, we don't even think about the fact that like millions of people don't starve in Africa every year anymore. Like they just went away. That's not an advancement. We were just like, oh yeah, that doesn't happen anymore. But let me tell you about how climate change is going to ruin the whole world. Oh my gosh. It's amazing. Amazing what we okay, that might be okay news, but I'm not going to talk about that. We don't want to talk about that. We're going to talk about why we're all going to die. And that is what sells. It means that we don't have to take that in, and we don't have to stop thinking about. For the last 200 years, the last 150 years, the last 137.3 years, the last 37 and a half years of your life, the last 67 years of your life, the market averages 10. Nothing is close. And you don't have to do anything. Yeah, but I got to get on here and read about digital currency and all those other things. But I'm going to call in and I'm going to talk about it. Okay? let's do. It's not to deny that these aren't things we need to fight against, but it does say, look, all the pundits are sure whatever's going to happen, they're never right. They're not right. And it's not being Pollyannish to go, let me do a little bit of market history here. Well, you're just denying that. No, I'm not. I'm just looking at history. I'm not saying it's all good, and I'm not even going to predict what the market's going to do this year. I just know that when the pundits think that, you know, tech stocks can't work in 23, I'm pretty interested in tech stocks because my experience has been, like, market history is, that the pundits are always wrong. Almost always. That's the important thing. All right. Let's get my buddy in here. Hold on. There we go. Push the button, and off we go. Dan, how you doing today? Oh,
no. Can you hear me okay?
Okay, there you are. Hey, buddy.
There we go. Good. How you doing?
Good.
Just real quick, I just want
to... Oh, no. All right, you get to another zone, buddy, and we are going to pick you up, okay? All right, that's too bad. All right, we got to take a quick break anyway, so that works out just fine. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Very quickly here, email just real fast here. Can you please mention again that book? I heard it in the past program that you've talked about, cleansing your brain, rethinking, rewiring your brain. It's called Switch On Your Brain by Carolyn Leaf. Okay, I've not read it. I've skimmed it, and I'm just getting started reading it. So, but anyway, I was put onto this by a very smart person, so I think it's going to be grand, okay? I think you'll enjoy it very much, okay? All right, with that, let's go to the phones. Dan, are you on the top of a mountain?
No, I'm not on the top of the mountain. I'm headed out to my John Deere tractor.
Okay, all right.
Anyway, just wanted to report in. We did that, what does woke mean to me and why has it become a trigger word in America today? We at Boise Public Library, we had about 50 people in there, reds, blues, purples, atheists, Christians, all kinds of folks, men, women. And we all agreed that we're all going to do this again. It was very interesting. It was a night of listening. So, you know, exactly what you're talking about, this whole thing about fear. And just to sit down with someone that looks at the world a little bit differently than you, and just, you know, about 80% of us all really want the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, it was really awesome. And hope is alive in our country and in our community.
Excellent. Now that's a good, I like that. That's a hopeful message too. And when people get together and discuss things, I think we have a better chance. And if I'm hopeful,
exactly,
I think they are. Yeah. You look at Congress, you watch Congress now, look what's happening. So they've reached out across the aisle, and Democrats are engaging with Republicans now, even though JoJo won't. I mean, I'm just thinking things are starting to change a little bit.
Oh, I feel also, I think we're accelerating out of a curve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good.
So anyway, I appreciate your positive message this morning. We're resolute good finders, right? Yeah. We find what's right in the world, and it gives us the energy to fix what's wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, my friend. Thank you. And thank you for your part in that. You putting that together for people. I appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah. Take care. Bye. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That's our number. You know, it's interesting, too. I'm really glad I got that email about that that book title, because it just reminds me again that we have to kind of rewire our thoughts. The way that it's talked about in the book is that it's like a creek running, right? And we all have walked in the desert. You know what I'm talking about. You see these little fractures in the ground. They're all dry, but you know water started there. And then as you get down the trail at the bottom, all these come together, and you're maybe even walking in the middle of a giant wash. You know, be a sight to see during a deluge, but not that you want to be standing there when that happens, obviously. But trickles that dig deeper and deeper. And when we put ourselves in front of that, the constant negativity, then the grooves get bigger in our brains. They just dig deeper and deeper and deeper into our brains, and it's hard to come out of that. It's not impossible, is the point. But you have to literally detox. And I think we can apply that in so many things and so many ways in our whole life. You know, we get locked in on finances and the way it is. We get locked in our belief system, and we just live in an echo chamber. Yeah, that's even more data of what I already know. Yeah, that's great. And we never, ever have that. I was just reminded of a conversation not long ago with she's probably going to listen to this program too because she usually does, and or at least on a podcast. And so, but we were having this discussion. Unfortunately, we got cut off, but we were having this discussion. I remembered saying, I don't think we disagree. Our politics are completely separate. I don't think we disagree on more than 10% of everything. You know, I'm not sure I put an exact number, but minimal. And it just reminded me of that thought, is that we don't really disagree that much as human beings. There's just little bits. But if we allow them to anger us and frustrate us to terrible levels, we can't dialogue and come to compromise, can we? We can't resolve things. We get angry. We get stubborn. And I found that interesting, just kind of an interesting thought. She's a wonderful person, incredibly smart. I love listening to her perspective because it doesn't come from a place of anger or even trying to convince me something, just more of a dialogue of ideas. It's wonderful, and I wish that for everybody. So it's interesting. But anyway, that book was Switch on Your Brain. It's Carolyn Leaf. Hope you like it. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. I can't remember what it was just the other day. I just saw this little clip. It was this small little thing. I remember what it was. It was just this thing I get every week. And one of the little bullet points in there was, he who has the most fun wins. And I thought that's awfully simplistic, but at the same time, as the person said, I was reminded of this quote, it just seemed simple, but it's true. And it really helped immediately that day reframe my brain. I did. I just like, well, of course I want to be joyful. Why wouldn't I? Of course I want to be happy. It's like, so do it. Is your life really that bad? Is there really that many problems? Okay, look, this is not a therapy. I'm just saying, I did that again this morning, and it changed. I think it might have changed my whole day. Really. Just kind of went, I'm going to be super duper happy today, because I am. I am. I got nothing but wonderful. My baby's coming home today. All those things. She's been off on a trip, and she's coming home. It's just wonderful. And look at this. We got spring busting out. But what do we have? We got GDP numbers that are down, and we're only at 1.1%. That's terrible. Commercial real estate's about to collapse. Bed Bath & Beyond going bankrupt. Well, I don't care about that, but that means all the meme stocks are dying. So what's going to happen to all those Robinhood traders, right? There's always bad news floating around constantly. Constant. And we also get tied into this whole thought process of the, well, we're going to have Biden and Trump again. Seriously? I don't think so. Do you really think so? I mean, it's like the election's not coming up in 6 months. It's not. It's a long ways. And almost nobody wants to see that happen. Almost no Democrats want Biden to run. almost no Republicans want Trump to run. Do I really think that that's what we wind up with when almost nobody wants that? I don't think so. I don't care who's in the lead. Things happen. So I choose not to worry about the political situation right now. 24 is a ways away. So we'll just let it unfold. I'm not going to make prognostications. Just not going to fuss about it. I can continue to wish all I want that Donald Trump won't run. So we can win. Otherwise, we lose. It's pretty simple. Pretty straightforward. Donald Trump's the nominee. Democrats win. Again. I think it'd be good to win. Here's another piece I want to share real quick before we go to Tall Boise Bill. This is interesting to me. In multiple ways, this comes up all the time, okay? We see it in numbers. We've seen it for decades. I've talked about the top 1% of taxpayers pay 30%, and then it became 33%, then it became 38%. I mean, I know. The rich don't pay any taxes, totally. I get it, okay? Yeah, just believe what they report. Don't actually believe your lying eyes. You don't want to do that. But we've talked about these types of things, and the more you tax, the more people leave. So we all know that places like Illinois are a basket case of, please leave us, we hate you, you're successful. And New York, California. But the numbers are just, they just can't escape publication anymore. You know, they can't. They can't pretend that we do it so good in California. That's why businesses are leaving. That's why people are leaving. We do it so good. It doesn't show up in any numbers of how good. Are Californians happier? No. Are they more abundant? No. No, actually not. How's their budget doing? Terrible. They're running a budget deficit. How are the, I know, I don't want to say red states, let's say lower tax, lower regulation states doing? Oh, their revenues are increasing and they're reducing taxes. All of them are reducing taxes. Arizona's on its way, for example, to no income tax. Isn't that crazy? None. Idaho is, what, 2 years in a row reduced our income tax. I know. We got to find something to hate Brad Little about, but there you go. I get it. That's politics. I guess people just want to be angry, but things are going pretty well. Texas, Florida, they're killing it. I mean, get billions in additional revenue and income, billions in a year. Every year, right? Because they move and then they stay and they keep adding their billions to the state economy. But the people in New York and Albany, they know what we need to do. It's crazy. It's crazy, but it's showing up in the data. That's a really positive thing, in my mind, a super positive thing. Because it is getting out that people know. They know. This isn't working. More government, bigger more government, more imposing rules and regulations isn't good for people. It's not. It's not just about the money either. People aren't happy. Tall Bill, how are you today?
Oh, good. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I love it when you get on a roll with your monologue.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. Thank you.
I was listening to your monologue the other day after you'd been to the museum for Reagan about your optimism. And, I was sitting in my car drinking my morning latte, and I listened to the whole thing. You know, it was lengthy, but it was so the optimism was just so contagious. The thing I wanted to say is that you remind me a lot of Harry Truman when they used to say it like it is, Harry. And this morning you were talking about a lack of leadership. And I've been thinking for the last, several Saturdays that I'm talking to a leader. And I remember when you said, you'd been doing this, I think, for 30 years, and you turned 60. And I think that you have the ability to go into politics and maybe run for mayor of Boise.
Mm.
And then use that maybe for a stepping stone to the big casino to be the governor.
You know, that's...
And I think change is good.
Well, I think change is green.
Change is good.
I'd like to see somebody from the outside to tell you the truth, Tall Bill. I don't know if call it Tall Boise Bill or Tall Bill, or I'm just going to say Tall Bill, okay? But I that was very kind of you. You honor me in saying that. I just think that was very, very kind, and I do try to put it out there. I would run for governor. That's a true statement. I've said that to Kevin before, but I can't think on the city basis, and it would take too much of a pay cut anyway, because I'll tell you something. I just really enjoy engaging with my clients. But I thank you. That was very, very kind of you to say. I love politics. I do. And I really hope that somebody from the outside comes in with a plan over a 4 or an 8 year period and gets the heck out. I hope it's somebody that doesn't try to use it as a lifetime of politics, but come and serve and take off. Bill, thank you.
Dave, you know,
go ahead. 5 minutes, 5 seconds, I mean. Oh, we lost him. Okay. Tall Bill, thank you again. I appreciate it. And thank you all for listening this past hour. We'll be right back after Fox News, top of the hour. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. And once again, this is going to be this segment right here, this monologue, if you will. And you're welcome to call and interrupt the monologue. I won't interrupt it. I'll put it at the end, as I do have a few things to say. I know, that's so weird. I can't believe I have anything to say. I'm sure that just blows you away. But first of all, I wanted to say this. Tall Boise Bill, that was very honoring, and thank you. It was humbling, to say the least, that you feel that way. I think we all know our own brains. We all know our own follies. And so I guess I just appreciate you seeing me as being pretty straight shooter. So I appreciate that. And thank you for the call very much. We had to kind of hustle off there, and I just didn't get a chance really to say thank you. That was a very, very kind, thoughtful statement. And I plan on spending some serious time thinking about that. I already have to a degree, and I'm going to pick up on that just a little bit. And one of the things that I think about a lot is how fortunate I've been to somehow have had some pretty strong influences in my life that are amazing. And it has led me to be thinking about this in terms of, I just gave out the name of that book, and about how our brains are wired and what our inputs are. And I think about this, and even the Bible talks about it a lot as to what we put into our brains. I mean, it's ancient, it's thought, it's not new. But I had amazing grandparents, for sure, and my parents cared a lot about us. I mean, it was great, but I saw influences from them in caring for people that left a heck of an imprint. But as you grow up, most of that you can put aside and go play to your own desires, and I certainly have. And I don't mean once or twice. I certainly have, and I mean that completely. I predominantly live for Dave Petzo. That's what I do, and that's what I've done. But I find that I've gravitated to some pretty darn good people to have mentor me. And it's led me to places that I just can't even imagine these things happening to somebody like me. Not that I didn't expect to do well in life. I have always been confident about that. And I thought I would do well. But I've gotten to do things that are pretty amazing. But I think of people like John Templeton, who I did get to meet twice. But it wasn't a point of interest in his life. It's not like we palled around. But But I read everything he said. I listened to everything he said. I took notes. I'd listen again if it was recorded. And again and again. And I realize in looking back, because I have a bit of seniority now, I look back and I say, wow, I had some pretty strong influencers, some pretty strong mentors in my life, many of which I didn't know. Ronald Reagan was one. You know, he just came up at a time and I read and read and read and read about him. And there's so much written about him. There's so much more to read about him and to think about him. Think about a human being that sacrificed as much as he did, was on top of the world and gave it up. Who does that? Who does that? It's amazing. Amazing. I don't see people coming out of Hollywood having all the hot babes out there and all this stuff and living the high life, parties every day, big money on movies, living on top of the hill, famous for being handsome. Why not? I think I'm going to go into politics, and he did it with such a grace, but such, oh, what drive he had. Wow. To change the world, not for Ronald Reagan, for the world. And those kind of influences that we have when we're letting these trickles in our brain get deeper and deeper, what are they? What are those trickles in our brain? What are those? Are we trickling good? In creating rivers of joy, rivers of peace, rivers of giving? Or are we in rivers of fear, despair, depression? And I think it's all about those inputs. And I'm not trying to be shrink here, but it just... we got to pick our inputs. And when it comes to markets and when it comes to our finances, we have to be thinking about all of this, because the inputs that come all the time are fear-based, because fear sells. Fear trades. Trading makes money. Selling product makes money. Owning the great corporations of the world doesn't. Which works? All of your life better than anything else. All of your parents' lives, your grandparents' lives. And so I don't, when people are like, well, what about this digital currency thing? What about this thing over here? What about that? What about the Chinese? What about, they're getting all together and they're going to make a new currency. And I say, I understand. The world's upside down. I got it. I'm not happy either. I want my world back. Something I can understand. Something I can understand. Something that makes sense. But it doesn't mean it's the end of the world. Never does. And if we continue to have that kind of input in our brain, we're going to believe that Russia and China are going to get together and the rest of the world's going to go, that's a great idea. Let's use their currency, not the U.S. dollar. Not now. Everybody knows. It's like, which mafioso do we trust? No, let's get them both together. That'll be great. Perfect. Perfect. What could go wrong? And we all know we're all going to find a dead horse in our bed. That's exactly what it is. And the whole world knows it. It's not happening. But we open this up, and it's like, the rivers are flowing, and we get more and more of this stuff, and it drives our fear, and it drives joy from our life, too. What I know is that we don't have to know the future to be great investors. I know my future is only a few more spins around the world, and it's over. It is. For me, my eternity is just around the corner. I just don't know how long the street is before the corner comes. It's going to be full of bumps. It's going to be full of pain. And it's going to be filled with joy. All the above. All the above. That's life. It always is. But I don't have to figure out what interest rates are going to be to be a great investor. I don't have to figure out how many iPhones Apple's going to sell in the fourth quarter of next year to know whether I ought to own Apple or not. And I don't need to have the pundits. I don't have to go find my pundits to agree with me about whatever prediction I want to make. All of that is noise. And it's not just noise. It's driving these rivers in our brain deeper and deeper and deeper to where we really do need a true detox to even wake up in the morning with a clear view. It's unbelievable, honestly. It honestly is. How much stuff we just pour in and expect because we all think we're above it. It's financial pornography. How is that going to work for you? It doesn't. It truly doesn't work. But we keep doing it. It's like we're compelled. It's like we're drawn to the dark side. And I know I felt this as a young man. I did. I mean, I do. You feel compelled and drawn to the dark side. You do. It's like, I just want to kind of look in. I just want to look in. But when it comes to investing and all, this is not a good thing to look in and be drawn in. There's always a danger of being drawn in, number one. You know, you want to experiment with a little bit of the drugs. You want to experiment with a little bit of whatever else it is, whatever other vice is your thing. We all have a thing. We all have that. It's always dangerous to spin down. But even if not, when it comes to finances, you start down that road, it's awful hard in a world of a constant noise. Constant noise. To turn off enough of it that you can get your brain detoxified. Even if you want to, you probably won't. It's too alluring to feel like you're getting information, to engage in the dialogue, the anger of the day, the obsession of the day. We have to work at it. And we do have to work at it. Or we can't stay away from it because the natural state of today is noise, right? Which suck us in. The natural state is pretty firmly on trading today, doing stuff today, knowing the world's going to end, all of those things together, and this is the best solution to our problem is, as pundits say, go do this. It's a draw. By golly, it's hard to pull back from that constant draw. That constant draw to the dark side. Always. And so I think about that and the amazing blessing it is to have great leaders in my life that even were people that I didn't know. And then combined with the people you do know, the people you love, the people you're close to, the people you can dialogue with. And maybe most of them are not as wise and as Ronald Reagan or John Templeton. But you dialogue with the right people, you dialogue in the right way, and you create rivers of positivity. And that is not looking at the world like a Pollyanna. It's looking at the world realistically. It's bad enough to just listen to 5 minutes of news. The GDP is down. Joe stumbled to the door today. He shook hands with air. Oh, he has the questions who's going to answer at the press conference. Boy, that you know, this is going to go great with China. That's our day. That's like 30 seconds of news. 30 seconds. And then the best thing to do is turn CNBC on all day long and just check and see how your portfolio is doing and listen to the noise. Listen to the pundits. I'll bet you'll find, if you're listening one time, that you really think the pundits that agree with you are really smart. And the ones that don't, you really didn't even hear what they said. It's just so true of us. It's so true. We do it all the time. I do it all the time. We always forget this. We don't have to know where we're going. Markets look ahead collectively, right? So the market's looking ahead. This is looking ahead 6 months, 9 months, a year, whatever, right? It's looking ahead. It doesn't define it. And it doesn't say, here's what we collectively all think. It just does. And what people don't realize, I think it's really hard. I think it's super hard. Because the news of today could be something like GDP is down and the market's up 300 points. So the pundits run around in circles and try to figure out why today's news correlates with that. And they can't find an answer. So they make one up and they report it and on we go. And nobody ever stops the next day to say, well, what happened to that news when the market actually like goes down? They don't answer that because there is no answer. Markets are looking ahead and they can't define it. It's very difficult to define. What I know is when we move towards freedom, it may not be this year, it may not be next year, but we're moving the right direction, so the economy is going to get better. Always. Always. Bureaucrats ruin everything, and they do. I don't think they set out and go, hey, daddy's a bureaucrat. I set out every day to ruin things. That's what I do, honey. Okay. I don't think I want to bring you in for show and tell anymore, Dad. That's kind of depressing and sad. It is depressing and sad. But it's what bureaucrats do. An example recently is in the UK and here. They decided to shoot down Microsoft's Activision deal. Now, it's great. I own Microsoft, and so it's really great for the stock. It went up a bunch because the deal's been nixed, both here and there. By who? Bureaucrats. So when do the bureaucrats find themselves in the news? When they do stuff, right? When they stop things. I mean, if they hadn't stopped things, would we be talking about it? No, because it seems like a perfectly normal thing. They do like one, Activision does like one video game or something. And of course, Microsoft does a couple of them. And so they're going to get together. And this is somehow an antitrust thing. Okay. Weird. It's a video game. Do I really think that the world of video games is going to collapse because two of them get together? Do I think that all, you know, Google, Facebook, and all these others are just going to give up the cloud after that? No. I mean, it's absurd. It's so absurd. But that's our bureaucrats in action. That's our bureaucrats on Wall Street, protecting what doesn't need to be protected, creating more abrasion in the system. Always. So what I know is I want to look at, is there less or more? I don't have to predict anything. So, oh, well, that'll increase GDP by at least 1% a year. No, but generally speaking, look what happened in 1980 and ran for 20 years. Reagan diminished taxes and regulations big time. Big time. And we had a 20-year boom, 4% GDP growth. Unreal. And then we get there and we have Obama and all the others. Oh, you just can't grow very much anymore. It's very, very slow growth. Of course it's slow growth. You threw sand in the engine. It's what you want to do. You believe you're smarter than the collective, meaning us. So you need to direct the collective in every possible way. But bureaucrats wreck it. And it's the same as companies get bigger. So watch those bureaucracies and watch what they're doing. And watch ourselves, too. We don't need to find solutions. We find them as a collective. We find them with our own independence, our own freedom. So those places that are getting more free, and they're hard to find, I know. Or if we move that direction, if like 24 moves that direction, I think you're going to see 5 years out, 10 years out, more growth. But even with this, and this is a big important lesson, even with, since Obama, we have had regulations in spades. And of course, I'm not even going to get into the horrifying Justice Department, FBI, and all those things. It's been horrible. Business is surviving, thriving, doing well. Don't forget that. It's doing okay in a 1% growing economy. Amazing. Technology, we're getting better. All of those positive things. It isn't impossible to be positive in a negative world. We just have to control our inputs. It doesn't mean Pollyanna, but understanding the basics. You know, this has worked my whole life. Cling to that. This is what works. I'm happier. I'm better. All those things. None of us wants to live in this place of depression, of it's never going to get better. It doesn't make sense. It's a bad place to be. And it hasn't been true. We always get better. We go through tough times, and then we get better. We always get better. I know, where's Ronald Reagan now? But we'll find one. We will. Have a great weekend. Thanks for tuning in.